give the first word to Peter Perla in his presentation.
Thanks. Good morning. On the airplane flight over here, my wife picked up a copy of the Independent newspaper. And a little while later, she elbowed me and showed me this article. It was a nice article about diplomacy, the game, that was one of the, shall we say, one of the earliest of the board war game genre. And it's made a reasonable impression in the public media. So wargaming as a whole, as a practice, at least in the recreational world, has become almost mainstream, in some sense perhaps being dragged along by the coattails of the ever-expanding board gaming community. But we're here to talk about serious war games. And I'm here in particular to talk about what's been going on in the US DoD recently. As you can tell, I have a certain theme running through this. And it's based on four memos and this quotation. The four memos that I'm going to talk about were the initial memo from the Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, back in November of last year, a follow-on memo from the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Bob Work, in February, which announced a wargaming summit for DoD, the follow-up memo from that wargaming summit, and then, hanging on the coattails, a memo from the Navy Secretary in the U.S. talking about wargaming. So before I get started, I had originally intended this to be primarily an informational. Here's what's going on. And I sent the slides to Tom and Graham, and they said, well, that's all very well and good, but we'd really like to hear more about what you think, not just what's going on. So after I warned them that that might be interesting, I changed the presentation. It got started with the Secretary's memo, and the best of times, worst of times, starting with the worst, what he said was the trigger for this was that we're entering a new era where America's dominance in key warfighting domains was beginning to slip. In order to deal with that danger, among other things, he called on the wargaming community to become reinvigorated so that it could test and develop alternative ways of dealing with American strategic objectives and thinking about that uncertain future security environment. Well, as you might imagine, the wargaming community in the U.S. was first taken somewhat by surprise, and second, were thrilled. Oh my gosh, the Secretary says we're going to be important. We haven't been important for decades. What's going on? Well, that was just the start. So there were some initial flapping. Professor Barney Rubel, former Dean of the Center for Naval Warfare Studies at the Naval War College, published a paper in which he was trying to be cautious. Hey, wargaming is a great tool, but you've got to be careful with it. Well, that theme is a subtext here as well. The next memo came from the Deputy Secretary. I actually was involved in some of the background of this for about a year and a half. Ed McGrady and I briefed then director of the Office of Net Assessment, Andy Marshall, about wargaming and its values and how to use it and that sort of thing. And I was invited to a couple of meetings of graybeards, or at least gray hairs, to talk to Mr. Marshall about wargaming. And as it turned out, there was an underground current coming from the then presumptive Deputy Secretary, Mr. Work. And so when the Deputy Secretary followed up on Hagel's memo, he focused on these key terms, right? He wanted to reinvigorate, institutionalize, and systemize wargaming across the department. And he wanted to do that because the situation had changed so much that we have these changing technologies and systems, we had tactical operational challenges, and there was a lot of fiscal pressure. He believed, at least he said in the memo, that war games can make the difference as we try to understand what to do in this environment. So I read the whole memo. If you haven't, it's online somewhere and you can read it. And I was happy with a lot of it. There were a lot of goods. There were also a lot of what we in the business call others. So from my perspective, one of the first goods was he spelled it right. I've been arguing about the spelling for 20, 30, how long? A long time. Even Stephen refuses to spell it right. But I've always taken it as a shibboleth in some sense, that real wargamers spell it as one word. Only the poseurs spell it as two words. Stephen perhaps accepted. Well, why is that important? Actually, Ed's going to talk a little bit more about that in his keynote, so I'm not going to go into it too much. But I was happy to see that. I was also happy to see his call for a reinvigoration of gaming. Graham just talked about my perception from my readings and my experience of the cycles of wargaming popularity and being pretty much shunted to the sidelines. It seemed like there was an energy barrier at the top of the peak, and we couldn't quite get over it, and so we slid back down into the doldrums. Well, now maybe, just maybe, there was an opportunity to punch through that energy barrier. That would be a great thing. As we all know, for at least 200 years, wargaming has been used by the professional military to address important issues. Sometimes it's even been successful. But all too often, it's been oversold by charlatans, it's been abused by cynics, and it's been ignored by senior leaders who most need to hear the critical insights that wargaming provides. Now maybe we have a chance to break that pattern. As I've said in the past, we can't afford to screw this up. This may be our last best chance for another 20, 25 years for wargaming to take its rightful place as a tool in full partnership with ops analysis and systems analysis and real-world evolutions. Unfortunately, there were the others. One of the words that the Deputy Secretary used is systematize. That makes me uneasy. As soon as we start systematizing war games, we get into computer systems and big contractors with lots of heavy iron who are determined to sell all that heavy iron to the Defense Department as this is the latest, greatest technology to help you do wargaming. That's at one end, the big sims. At the other end are the people who practice what I like to call bogsattery. Those of you who were here yesterday heard that term. Bogsat is a bunch of guys sitting around the table. One of the things that Graham mentioned this morning was how people are jumping on the bandwagon. Well, we saw that immediately. In fact, Matt tells a story of, I'll let you tell the story. Matt tells a story about one example of someone who went, an event that went from being a seminar or a workshop to a wargaming after the fact. But a lot of that was happening fairly quickly. Another problem was that when I talked to the people in parts of DOD to try to ask them, what do you think the secretary and the DEPSEC meant by wargaming? And so, well, it's everything. It's computer models, it's campaign analysis, it's seminars, it's work. All that stuff is wargaming. As long as it's not real war, it's wargaming. Well, then that makes it pretty useless, doesn't it? So from my perspective, I saw dangers in a couple directions in particular. First, what I call CASWIPs, computer simulations without players. Those are the big models. And then, in a sense, in the other direction, from the practicers of campaign analysis, the hardcore mathematical OR types who build campaign models that have a look and a feel in some ways of games, but they are not. I like to say that campaign analysis can never produce a Chancellorsville, a surprise, a creative use of force and misdirection, whereas war games can. So I was a little concerned about the potential for foolishness. But the wisdom I saw there, obviously it had to be wise because it seemed to be saying what I've been saying for the last 25 years, which is we need to integrate wargaming with our other tools in a cycle of research or a cycle of innovation or a cycle of learning or whatever you want to call it, so that we could take advantage of the strengths of the tools to make up for the weaknesses of other tools. And that first quote is what he was talking about. We want to use wargaming in conjunction with these other tools. And then specifically, he thought it would be useful to do a hybrid approach where we could do seminar games and a technique called portfolio rebalancing to try to focus on the programs, not just the military operational side. So I was a little on the positive side. Well, maybe on balance, things are going well. And then came the follow-up memo, the memo that followed the summit. And in this memo, there was actual tasking sent out to the department. So again, some of it was good, some of it I worried about. The first task was to establish a repository of war games, in other words, a database that would contain the names and the objectives and who was running all the war games that the department was aware of for the last couple of years, so that people would have access to who is it that does wargaming. Unfortunately, that's generated a lot of bureaucratic churn and the usual problem. Well, is this a war game or not? Well, it's close, let's put it in. He also directed that the joint staff and some of the other organizations in the Pentagon should then take that repository, summarize all the important findings of the war games, and report on that to the senior leadership. Well, as soon as you start bringing the joint staff and the CAPE, the Center on the Cost Analysis and Program Evaluation Division, and the OSD policy, and other people into the game, that's going to be death by PowerPoint, you can be sure of that. Because that's how everybody reports out. Okay, well, maybe that'll actually be good. Who knows? The next task was to form what he called the Defense Wargaming Assessment Group, the DWAG. And to do that, he designated four quad chairs, senior members of OSD CAPE, the Office of Net Assessment, the Joint Staff, and OSD Policy. I had a chance to brief three of the four on basically that first slide of mine about the goods and others. I had written a little essay on that, which got circulated, and I was told later that, well, the briefing was more useful because it wasn't quite so negative. And that's the indicator of the problem. Nobody wants to hear negativity, Moriarty. Well, so the DWAG was going to be formed, but it hasn't been as far as I know yet. Who's going to be on it? What's it supposed to do? Primarily, it's supposed to be the connector between the senior leadership and the wargaming community. But who is the wargaming community? Undefined. Connections US took a great step forward in trying to put a stake in the ground that we're the wargaming community. We'll see if that works. Another thing that the secretary tasked was for OSD CAPE, for the Joint Staff, and the Office of Net Assessment to coordinate a use of development of new scenarios to support what's called the strategic, supports the strategic assessment. That's essentially campaign analysis. So, okay, getting better scenarios would be good. Those of us who have seen those scenarios are aware of their shortcomings. So that might be good, but no one was designated as being in charge, at least not in the memo. And the process wasn't defined. So lots of words, not so much action. Another thing that was tasked in that memo was that the Office of Net Assessment was to develop a game series for the senior leadership to play to try to understand better the future security environment. And there was a deadline on that task, which was June. I recently, just last week, in fact, asked one of our wargaming associates at the office, and I won't name names because Tom tells me this is going to be on video. So, but I asked him how that was going. Did it happen? What's the story? He said, oh, yeah, I turned in my design concept on time, and I haven't heard anything since. So imagine my incredulity. So then we go to the third or the fourth memo, the Secretary of the Navy's memo, which came out in May, early May. And the Secretary of the Navy was not slow in getting off the mark to try to please the bosses. I have not seen a similar memo from any of the other services, although they're doing things. So what the SecNav did was he directed several things. Let me go back. He actually tasked the Navy and Marine Corps to do six tasks. The first of those tasks was to develop a virtual community of practice for Navy and Marine Corps wargaming. Well, this sounds really good because Morris has this virtual community of practice for wargaming, and we have a virtual community in sensing through connections. So this sounded like a great idea until we started pulling on the thread. Ed and I went over to the Pentagon to talk to the officers who were in charge of this, and this is what they showed us. Yeah, virtual community practice. We're going to model it after things like the CIMSAC, which is the Center for International Maritime Security. Well, that's just a website. Yeah, it's a virtual community practice. No, it's a website. Community of practice makes use of a website, but it is not the website. Oh, we don't understand. But this is going to be really good. Okay. light, darkness, I don't know. The ideas were good, the goals were good, but did they understand what the community of practice should be? So, light and darkness. As usual in DoD, you never get the one without the other. So the virtual community of practice was tasked. It's turned into computers. We're trying to fight that fight. We don't know how well it's going to work out. The second task was for the Navy to start doing iterative games. In particular, it's the Global War Game series, which had been going on for several years in the past, was terminated for a while, came back. It was a single big game, multiple week event up in Newport. Well, now they wanted to do iterative games. We're going to do smaller bites and do them more often and feed on each other. That all sounds really good, except what's really important, of course, is the cross-cutting issues. Focusing on logistics only or on ASW only can help, but when logistics and ASW interact, that's when things start to get interesting. So again, here's a good and another. Probably the most contentious tasker was to find ways for the war games to influence the program planning, budgeting, and evaluation system process. That's a process through which the Navy and DoD procure systems and programs. That's all great. Wargaming should be influencing that. But oh, wait a minute. There's a whole analytical bureaucracy, particularly within the Navy, that's built to support that process using campaign analysis. And guess what? They weren't thrilled. But they are also very savvy. And they've kind of hijacked the Navy's wargaming process. And I just want to use one quote here. Adjudicating player moves and interactions is central to wargaming. That's a very analysis-oriented thought, campaign analysis. Adjudication, of course, is important, but it's not the central thing. They don't understand, or they certainly don't want wargaming to cut into their power. So task four was for the Office of Naval Research to reinstitute its technology innovation games, and that's almost immediately they started backtracking on that, and ONR said, well, we'll include technology issues in the new Global War Game series and other important Navy games. We're not going to do our own game. The other things on that list there are about technology and sharing insights. Again, they sound good, but it's not clear that the methods that we're using are up to that challenge. So I'm running out of time. So I want to go to this last piece, the op-ed. A couple weeks ago, I got asked to look at a draft op-ed by the Deputy Secretary that was intended to be published somewhere in the open media to highlight what the Deputy Secretary is trying to accomplish. And a large part of this, I think, was influenced heavily by what the Secretary's Chief of Staff heard at Connections US. These were the main points as I saw it, and they're good. The basic idea is back in the 20s and 30s, the U.S. Naval War College in particular did a series of games in a period of technology transition and reduced budget capability, reduced sizes of budgets. And those games were very successful in preparing the Navy for World War II. The second point is that if games are to be effective, They have to make use of both proven best practices and creative new ideas. Unfortunately, the repository is going to be the source of all this. Well, doesn't seem likely to me. He correctly emphasizes that the senior leaders need to have access to the best information. But perhaps most interestingly is that last point, a point that Matt's been making over and over again. We need to get people to understand wargaming, not just the wargaming community, but broadly throughout the department. And the best way to do that with a serving military is through their professional military education. But it's not just about playing games, it's about understanding them and understanding how to do them and understanding how to use them. That's where the emphasis in professional military education needs to lie, and it needs to be mandatory, not an elective. And so that point, I think, if the secretary holds to it and makes people respond, that will be the biggest contribution that these memos and this series of new emphasis can make. And at that point, I'll stop. Thank you.